Kia ora, and welcome to the New Zealand Property Market Podcast, brought to you by CoreLogic, produced by Agents TV, for the 11th of March, 2024. I'm Head of Research Nick Goodall, and I'm joined by our Chief Economist, Calvin Davidson. Calvin, how are you, mate? A weekend of cricket and pink for both families, by the sound of it.
It was, yeah. My wife Gemma was up in Auckland for the Pink concert, so yeah, she left Friday, didn't come back till yesterday. So yeah, she had a great time. I think it was partly about the concert, but partly about the kind of socialising in and around that. So I think that went pretty well. Not cheap by any means, but yeah, she had a good time. And so I was at home with the kids. Yeah, it gets easier. I mean, they're getting a bit older. It's that those bedtimes aren't quite as annoying as they used to be. So no, it was good. And cricket, I mean. Yeah, thrilling. It's just been a pretty up and down test match, you've got to say. But geez, last evening with Ben Sears charging in and bowling top pace, it was great. I mean, is there anything better? You know, the fast bowler is just another level of kind of excitement. Not for the batsman, but for spectators, yeah, it was pretty thrilling. So yeah, who knows? It's raining right now, so hopefully that doesn't intervene. Although we're only on day four, so there's still time, and maybe we'll get that one. So yeah, no, great weekend actually. How about yourself?
Yeah, that rain could provide the best conditions for the likes of our swing bowlers like Southee, who hasn't been in form lately. So maybe this is the perfect chance for him to bowl us to victory, like you say, alongside Sears and Henry, who's just been on fire. So yeah, exciting, man. Can't wait to. Yeah, I'll be tuning into that very shortly and half working, I suppose, off the back of that. But yeah, similar weekend, mate. I mean, the toughest thing for me was I got sick sort of middle to late last week. So coming back from sickness, and then, yeah, same thing. Karina, my wife, took our oldest Heidi up to Auckland on Saturday for the Pink concert too. So they had a great weekend though. And yeah, she's nine, Heidi's almost nine. So yeah, she just had a great time and apparently was up dancing most of the time. And her first concert, so not a bad one to go to, certainly from all accounts. It's a pretty amazing concert. So, yeah, very exciting from their perspective. And, yeah, I just had the other two at home and sort of recovering from illness, so that wasn't too bad, so that was all good. And, yeah, certainly easy to chuck the cricket on while keeping them entertained. And, yeah, I did have an Aussie mate who messaged, end of Saturday or whatever it would have been, saying the game will be over tomorrow on Sunday. So nice, that yesterday went very much the opposite of that. And we're obviously turned into favourites today. So let's just hope they can follow through and do the business. But yeah, mate, so otherwise it was all a good weekend. And actually, the other big thing for me was first pre-season football game yesterday afternoon, back in the Masters division this year. So yeah, good little hit out and certainly excited to get that season started. I think it's like about a month away now in early April. So yeah, sort of changing a season certainly happening.
Yeah, comes around fast, doesn't it? It's quite amazing. But and that's there's a whole bunch of rugby and rugby league and football and all of that going on. But yeah, by the time people actually listen to this podcast, we may even know the result of the cricket. Who knows? But yeah, lots to follow.
Indeed. All right, mate, let's get into it then. There actually wasn't too many releases last week with data updates last week, but the main one probably was the confirmation over the weekend yesterday on Sunday for the details around interest deductibility being reinstated for property investors. Now, as it turns out, it was pretty much as we'd expected. We'd seen in the coalition agreement. I think there was one minor tweak, which I'll let you delve into, but definitely generated a fair bit of coverage. You were just saying that this morning that you were on both breakfast TV programs this morning. I did an interview for News Hub yesterday. I think you got a call from a couple of the other online sites as well. So yeah, plenty of interest there, I guess. And I think it's because, it can be seen as quite a big change. It was when it first came in, of course, and we knew this was coming from the national-led government coalition as well. But yeah, do you want to just run through the finalised details of what this actually means, and then we can chat about some of the implications that you and I have been chatting through with the media the last day or so, and sort of what we expect to happen off the back of this.
Yeah, it was. I got a call from Susan Edmonds at Stuff sort of late morning yesterday, saying, "Oh, what do you think about the announcement?" What announcement? I hadn't seen anything, and so sneaking it out sort of 1 o'clock on a Sunday. I mean, what's that about? But yeah, it definitely it kicked off a whole flurry of kind of media calls and trying to tee up interviews for today, late afternoon, just when I was trying to watch the awesome cricket. I was trying to deal with journalists, so yeah, made for an interesting end to the day. But it confirms what we already knew. So I suppose, it's newsworthy that it's actually been confirmed, but sort of nothing really new from that coalition agreement, really. So we're going to have 80% deductions for investors from the 1st of April this year. So in other words, the new tax year. And then 100% from the next tax year starting 1st of April 2025. So, yeah, it puts the system back the way it was, sort of what, 4 years ago, I wish, somewhere around there. It doesn't matter whether you've got an existing property or a new build, or whether you're an existing landlord or a new investor. It's back to 100% deductions in about what, sort of 14 months' time. So, yeah, it confirms what we already knew from that coalition agreement. It was they did talk about in that agreement it being a 60% allowance for this year, this tax year that's almost finished. They were talking about kind of doing that retrospectively, basically. They've decided to can that. And I heard David Seymour this morning pretty much saying, well, it came down to a sort of pragmatic decision, and what would the administrative costs be in terms of trying to impose it all retrospectively, and people might end up having to get refunds and all this sort of stuff. So they just decided, for an extra, because it's currently 50%, of course, that is the reality right now. For the sake of an extra 10% deduction, they decided not to worry. So yeah, that's kicked into the long grass. But yep, 80% starting in a few months, and or in a month's time, and then 100%. So yeah, it's I mean, smaller tax bills for investors, of course. If you're an existing landlord, you've got a reduced tax bill over time. New investors looking at a lower tax liability in the future. So, good for them. And I suppose the discussion's been a lot around what it does for rents. What does it mean for tenants? A lot of talk about tax breaks for landlords. I don't know if that's the right word. If you go back sort of 4 or 5 years, no one was talking about it being a tax break then. So I don't know why it's suddenly become a tax break now. It just sort of, I guess, puts the tax system back on that footing that it was on 4 or 5 years ago. And other businesses can claim interest as a deduction. So I think it really just puts it back on that footing. For me, it's great for investors, smaller tax bills, but will it bring a whole bunch of buyers back to the market? Yeah, not so sure. I mean, we've been talking about this for ages. When you look at rental yields are still low, mortgage rates are still high. Yes, if you get a smaller tax bill, that changes the economics a little bit, and it might bring some investors back. But on average, you're still looking at a pretty big top up. And I think until mortgage rates fall, that's the thing that would really trigger investors to come back. Smaller tax bill helps, but I don't think it's gonna sort of massively transform things until those mortgage rates fall. So yeah, I can't see too much changing, but it's certainly generated a bit of news. And yeah, I mean, good for commentators like us, I guess.
Yeah, true. And I think that one of the questions I got was, does this mean a flow through to cheaper rents, or rents not increasing at the same rate they have done? And I think, our opinion's been pretty consistent on this, that we know that from multiple studies that are done, that rents are dictated more by tenant income than it is by landlord costs. So just like when they lost the ability to reduce, or they had a lower ability or lesser number proportion, they could only get 50% or whatever it was in the previous year, 75% the year before. Much like when they were, not being able to claim those interest costs back, they weren't lifting their rent off the back of that. Same thing this way around, that now that they can get that interest cost deductibility back, they're not going to suddenly start providing discounts to rent. So I don't think it'd have an impact from that perspective. The question is, of course, I think as your commentary came off the back of one of our releases in the last few weeks that talked about, there does seem to be a lesser supply of rental properties right now, and lower supply at a time of high demand with strong migration does mean strong growth in rental prices. So, the hope there, of course, is that with more, hopefully more investors able, willing to buy, hold properties, means rental supply holds higher or increases, and that should reduce the pressure on those rental price increases. So I suppose there is a chance that that does flow through. So there's a good thing there. But I suppose there's this one potential negative, and now this is a bit of a random distortion, right? Is that when interest deductibility was taken away, it was remained for new builds. So at least there was a bit more reason, a bit more incentive if you're an investor to go, what am I going to buy? If I build a new property, I can pay my interest costs back. If I buy an existing property, I can't. So if the sums were similar, you'd hope they'd go towards a new build, which is great for everybody because they increase stock of the overall number of properties, which of course alleviates the broader pressure on the housing market longer term. So I suppose that was one of the good things. You can talk about the right, whether the change was the right thing to do or not. But ultimately, one of the good things that came from it was that it did provide that extra incentive to build new, which is only a good thing. Whether or not, you could argue that it reduced so much of the rental existing properties that had a negative effect. Of course, there's more to talk about there. But of course, changing this back again now removes that incentive to go new. So if they're sitting there and saying, do I buy existing property, which I can see right now exists, it's right there, I can get rent immediately, or I'm going to build a new one, which I'm not going to get any return on for 12 or 18 months, which are you going to choose? And there's the uncertainty in the new build market where, with the concern in developments and construction firms that are, there's not doing so well. There's been talk of liquidation. And of course, we've heard about Duval and Fletcher Group with their revenues, reducing or making losses. Are they really going to dive into the new build market when there's so much uncertainty around that too? So that's my only concern here, is that one incentive that was there to build new is reduced. And so we don't see as many investors building new properties, which is not good long term for us. So, we'll see how that plays out. It may not be too big a thing to be concerned about, but maybe it's one of the random sort of weird unintended changes here off the back of this. But I think you're right in terms of, it makes sense that you can claim your interest costs back. So it didn't really make sense in the original time to bring this in. If we're looking to influence, the profitability of investment or whatever, there's probably other ways to go about that. So yeah, I think that's the only other thing to sort of take note of. And we'll certainly, talked about on my media interview I did yesterday. Again, like you said, mid-morning call from News Hub going, what are you thinking about this upcoming announcement? And had no idea what was going on. So they obviously got a heads up that the PR was happening and we didn't. But luckily it was just as expected, so I could do that interview. But yeah, those are the things I'd probably add to it. Was there, anything else on your mind in terms of other implications or any other conversations you've had or investor thoughts?
Yeah, I suppose it's that ultimate question. I guess for most of the journalists has been, well, okay, we talk about the technicalities. What does it mean for rents? Is the government right in this? And I guess that they're very careful about the language. And I think some of the language seems to have been, well, we think this will pass through to lower rents. And then other language seems to have been, well, it might just be a slower growth rate than we otherwise would have seen. So I think maybe, different politicians and different people have been putting out different views on that. But I mean, it seems unlikely that rents will go down as a result of this, not because landlords are sort of mercenaries or whatever. It's just that, like you say, rents are driven by other things. It's about tenants' wages, it's about supply and demand. There's so many other kind of bigger forces at play here. And look at all the migrants coming in. That's putting pressure on the demand for rentals. And maybe there aren't as many rental properties as there otherwise would have been because investors haven't been buying as many lately. So yeah, there's wider forces, and maybe some landlords will pass this on and lower rents. I think it's more likely that what you see is just a slightly slower growth rate than we otherwise would have seen. Now, we're not going to know that because we don't know what rents would have done otherwise. All we can see is what's actually happened. So it's a little bit hard to test that counterfactual thing. But yeah, my hunch is, well, it'll be a slightly slower growth rate. We won't actually know. But also there's wider forces going on in terms of supply and demand. So yeah, I think it's business as usual. This has been out there for a long time. There's been a lot of commentary about it, but yeah, just confirms. And that's probably the thing I was waiting for, because we're almost in the new tax year. I was kind of, doing some presentations lately saying, well, we think it's going to be 80% next tax year, but we don't know. I mean, they haven't said anything definite about it. So I suppose that's the thing. Accountants and lawyers will be pleased to see that clarification. So yeah, nothing much changes, but it's just good to have that confirmation.
But no confirmation of the Brightline test. Have we actually had full confirmation of that yet? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't think so either. My understanding is that's going to be a budget thing. So
Oh, okay.
that'll budget's in sort of May. So the kind of target for that Brightline shortening is 1st of July. So I guess they've still got time to do that. I think that has been more clearly set out, and that is just pretty much the expectation is it's 1st of July that'll be shortened. But they've got that time in the budget, I guess, to talk about that. So yeah, that's my understanding.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I just thought, another one that we knew was coming, and so I wasn't sure we had full confirmation. So yeah, we'll keep an eye out for that one anyway. All good, mate. Well, the only other real major data release last week was the Reserve Bank data, which is on that fixed loan terms. I don't think too many surprises here, just that people continue to choose those shorter terms, closer to that 1 year period. I mean, anything you want to delve into here, any detail you want to provide?
Yeah, so the latest numbers, these are for January, I suppose they were. We had 46% of new loans were fixed for up to a year, so pretty high proportion. That That number is the highest for a couple of years since mid-2021. So yeah, there's definitely a keen focus on those sort of 6 or 12 month fixes at the moment. Now that's interesting because if you look at the rates, there's quite a big gap between at least the advertised sort of 1 year mortgage rate and say the advertised 3 year rate. There's quite a big gap there. It might be sort of, 60, 70 basis points cheaper to borrow on a 3 year fix. So there is quite a big gap there. To fix for a year now, you are paying a bit more, but we all know, we all think we know that over a 1 or 2 or 3 year horizon, mortgage rates will actually come down. So that's what people, I think they're voting with their feet. They're saying, okay, I'm prepared to pay a little bit more now. I'll just fix for a year because I don't want to be locking in for too long and overpay later. So that's kind of what we're seeing, sort of makes sense to me. But and who knows what's going to happen with mortgage rates. They could go anywhere yet, but it seems to be that's the kind of anticipation that's coming through in the way people are actually acting, is that they will think rates will come down. And we've seen that from some of the banks. There seems to be an announcement almost every couple of days at the moment that one bank or another has lowered their mortgage rates. So yeah, they're small cuts for now and at different durations, and so it's not sort of across the board, but just sort of at that tipping point, I think, where you can see rates starting to come down, people are acting on that in terms of fixing shorter. So yeah, interesting stats.
No, I don't think too much to add there. Maybe, that's the market of gain pricing, the fact that we don't expect to see the OCR lift. But again, I'm sure there's a few more economic releases out between now and when that next decision will be. So we'll cover those as they come out. Cool, mate. Well, the only other major release from our perspective was, of course, for International Women's Day, we did have our Woman and Property report out. I think it's the fourth edition of this one. Of course, the coverage mostly centered from ourselves and across the media was about that relatively lower ownership of investment properties for women. Do you want to give us your wrap on that report, and sort of the coverage and interactions that you had around that?
Yeah, hard to believe it was only the tail end of last week. It feels like so much has happened since then. It's only kind of 3 days ago. But yeah, we so at, yeah, like say fourth edition of this, we look at gender ownership based on we infer it from first names. So I suppose it's not a foolproof method, but we think we've got sort of 96, 97% coverage rates across New Zealand. So I think that's pretty good. And yeah, at headline level, I don't think the difference is it. Too massive. It shows that 22.2% of properties are owned exclusively by females, whether that's one or more. 22.7% owned exclusively by males. So sort of 0.5% gap there. The rest owned and mixed kind of gender ownership. So yeah, I don't think at that headline level differences are too massive. Where it does get a bit bigger is when you get into investment properties. So the share of rental properties owned exclusively by females, 21.6%, and males, 26.3%. So you're getting up to a sort of 4 or 5 percentage point gap there. It's a bit more significant. And really, I guess it could be any number of explanations. But the gender pay gap does stand out. If you earn less, well, it's just going to be harder to save the deposit, satisfy the bank, all of these things. So I think that's definitely playing a role. And I think so we're seeing that wider gap in terms of investment properties. So yeah, interesting stats. It's something we do once a year. And yeah, we'll see how it looks next year.
Yeah, and there was an Australian report which did some survey data too, which could be of interest to some people. But I'll leave all the links and hopefully people saw some of that coverage anyway and can get into it in more detail if they want to. The other thing we did for International Women's Day, and we always like to use the podcast for different reasons, such as this one. And I managed to secure Amanda Young, who is the head of third party banking at ASB, and I deal with quite regularly through the job, and was really keen to talk to her about her career and some of her tips for leadership, as well as a woman that's gone through the industry and it's just hugely successful as well. So that was a really cool interview to do. She was amazing. We have had incredible feedback, even though it's only been live since Friday morning. And I wouldn't be surprised if this sort of becomes our most downloaded podcast as well. So if you haven't listened to that one, really cool, really inspirational as a leader, and some great tips on becoming a leader and just how you get people to get in behind you, really, to be successful and through the banking and finance industry. Big business like ASB, and Amanda's just hugely respected throughout it. So that was a really fun one to do, and yeah, keen to. Yeah, go and listen to it. Go and download it, and certainly provide your feedback to us as well. But always a good one to do to coincide with International Women's Day. So yeah, that was the other addition for that one. But anything else on your mind from last week, Kelvin, before we just have a quick look ahead at what's coming up this week?
Yeah, not too much on the data front. I was just going to back up what you said about that podcast with Amanda. I mean, it was just almost, I was like, oh, what? It's over. I almost wanted more. So yeah, it was just really really great. So yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, I'm just so thankful to Amanda and ASB too. You know, like big corporate businesses like that too, you've got to go through a bit of sign off to ensure that they can get out. And that's why we, you know, probably had pretty tight topics that we could talk about. But no, it was good fun. So yeah, thank you. All good, mate. Well, this week, a monthly video being filmed middle of the week. So that should be published by the end of the week. So that's just your usual 5-minute summary of the market. So we'll keep an eye for that one via YouTube and our social channels. Stats New Zealand have got a couple of their regular releases this week. Migration figures for January, rental data for February. So a pretty hot topic, obviously, given all the investor stuff we've been talking about. And of course, Ryan's data will be out later in the week, we think. Sales volumes and index for February will be paying attention to. My expectation probably is about a pretty strong February, based on some of the feedback I've had. So we'll soon be paying close attention to that one. Yeah, what anything in particular on those releases you'll be paying attention to or looking out for?
Yeah, we've probably covered off the rents and migration stuff, and the rental numbers for February, that'll be out on Wednesday, so that's the date to look for there. We've probably covered off the high demand, tight supply sort of thing. I think there'll be more growth in rents, maybe over the next sort of 6 to 12 months. We'll also that slow because maybe a few more rental properties coming online, a bit less migration. The fact is at the moment rents are already really high in relation to income, so this I think this growth we're having in rents does have its limits, but I think there's probably a bit more to come. The migration numbers will kind of confirm that. I think we're probably look slightly past the peak, at least in terms of that annual sort of 12-month rolling total for net migration, but it's prone to revision. Who knows? And even if we are past the peak, it's still like a massively high number. So I think that's probably a thing to keep in mind. And yeah, with the Real Estate Institute figures, yeah, anecdotally, just what you tend to see in statistics. I mean, January was a very weak month. You almost got the sense there's a bit of a timing thing going on here. Maybe people took sort of a longer holiday, and so you'd expect maybe an even stronger bounce back in February. So, nothing more than that. It's just a kind of gut feel, but I expect sales will look a bit stronger. Who knows about the house price index? It has been sort of jumping around a little bit, and I think it's just this idea of there's still strains on the market. It's not that straight line recovery. So yeah, another interesting week of data.
Yeah, absolutely. And that'll be a good one. And I'm in Auckland later in the week too. So looking forward to catching up with a few more clients and a few more presentations later in the week. The only thing on my mind is I did actually, toward the end of last week, record another guest podcast. People will know that we've recently been doing a few interviews with different mortgage advisors out there over the last few months. We've sort of slightly changed tack on that one and gone chat to a mobile mortgage manager at Westpac as well. So really understanding their role and how they play out in the sort of mortgage lending process as well, and how interaction goes with them. So I'm looking forward to having that one released. Again, that's just going through final approval before it's published, probably tomorrow at some stage as well. So another one to keep an eye out for. Cool, mate. That's us. It's now at 11 o'clock, so we better go and catch the cricket. Anything else on your mind before we go and do that?
No, I just seen 11:03, so I'm like, oh, what's going on?
Is it raining already?
Heavy share of rain has just passed by, so I don't know. Maybe the covers are on. However, it's day four, so we've got time.
Yeah, exactly. It's not likely to rain it off. And actually, rain is good for the conditions. So, yeah, just fingers crossed that it doesn't rain all day and then same thing tomorrow because that would be a travesty. But anyway, all right, mate, I'll close us out there then. Thanks very much, as per usual, Calvin. Good to delve into so much detail there. And thanks very much for listening. Please do make sure you subscribe to the show and feel free to get in touch with us as well. And so, even say thanks again. My name is Nick. He's Calvin. You've been listening to the New Zealand Property Market Podcast. Mā te wā.